Now, after House Speaker Paul Ryan's announcement yesterday that he will not seek re-election to Congress, there's a lot of talk about who might run for his congressional seat. Among Republicans, there are several state lawmakers in Ryan's district, including Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who are seen as possible candidates. Before Ryan made his announcement, two Republicans are already planning to run, as well as two Democrats. One person who won't be making a bid is former White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, who ruled out the possibility on WISN Radio in Milwaukee this morning.
It's not a good time, and not to mention, I just took a great job with Michael Best and Friedrich in Milwaukee, the firm that I was with for many, many years before all of this started, and it's going great, and, you know, being a little separated from the daily political grind has been unbelievable. And so the answer is no.
Candidates can begin filing nomination papers this Sunday with the deadline set for June 1st. So who's in the best position to run for the seat? How much of a chance do Democrats have to take this away from Republicans? And what is Paul Ryan's legacy in Congress, including his tenure as House Speaker? Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, first off, Susan, what was your reaction to Speaker Ryan saying he's done, he's not going to run again this year?
Well, there had been speculation for a few months that he, in fact, was going to retire, so I wasn't completely taken by surprise.
And Ryan's announcement comes about 6 weeks before the filing deadline here. A lot of the election handicappers have moved this seat one notch toward the Democrats. The crystal ball changed the race from likely Republican to toss-up. The Cook Political Report moved it from solid Republican to leans Republican. Do you think Ryan getting out of this race does make that much of a difference for a Democrat's chances?
I think so. If you look at what the two most recent presidential elections, for example, Trump won the district 53-42, and Romney carried it in 2012, 52-47, and that was with Ryan as his running mate. So I think that if you consider Paul Ryan not being on the ballot, that would definitely give the Democrats a better shot. And added on top of that, we keep hearing about this blue wave and the Democrats having a good year in 2018. So I think that Democrats were quite happy to hear the news yesterday.
I want to look at candidates on both sides of the race here. We have two Democrats running, not really your traditional types of candidates, Ironworker Randy Bryce, a.k.a. Iron Stash online, and Janesville teacher Kathy Myers. Randy Bryce getting a lot of national attention. I wonder if a lot of more politically experienced people had known Paul Ryan wasn't going to run, they might have gotten into the race.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that. And I think that what we've seen with Randy Bryce in particular is that he's become a bit of a darling of the left liberal Democratic Party, even outside of Wisconsin. So he's raised an enormous amount of money for a challenger to have raised by this point in the campaign. And I think that a lot of Democrats who otherwise might have considered running saw that this was a seat that Speaker Ryan, had he not decided to retire, would have retained.
And on the Republican side, we had two Republicans who said they were going to challenge Ryan in a primary, Paul Nehlen, who lost Ryan by 68 points a couple years ago. Republicans do not want him as a candidate, at least the official party. Very controversial anti-Semitic references on his Twitter feed, for example. And Nick Pulse, an Army veteran from Lake Geneva without a lot of political background. Do you expect to see a lot of Republicans now who wouldn't have thought of running against Paul Ryan now coming out of the woodwork to race for this seat?
I think that there were quite a few Republicans who had heard the same rumors or read the same rumors that I did and perhaps had been mulling in their mind if, in fact, Speaker Ryan did decide to retire, that they would likely run. And I think that there's quite a few people right now who are assessing whether or not making a run is a good idea for them.
Talking to Susan Johnson, associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. But what happens next after Speaker Paul Ryan announced that he's not running for re-election? And let's turn to this now, looking back at his career in Congress. 20 years he'll have been in there. He led the House Ways and Means Committee, which seemed like what he really wanted to do, and then, on all appearances at least, reluctantly became House Speaker. Can you talk about his rise in the Republican House ranks, Susan?
Sure. So as you mentioned, he's been in Congress about 20 years, and his focus has been, and I would say consistently throughout his time, on two main things, I would say, tax reform and entitlement reform. And so his committee assignments, as he gained seniority in the House, went in that direction. So he had been chair of the Budget Committee and then, as you mentioned, chair of the Ways and Means Committee. And I genuinely believe when he says that he did not want to be Speaker that he's being honest about that. He was very reluctant when John Boehner decided to leave to take on the role of Speaker, but he was really the only person that the Republican caucus could gather around and put forward in that regard. So he somewhat reluctantly took on the role of Speaker in 2015.
Understandably reluctant. It seems to me that House Speaker is a really bad job to get because you're the other side hates you and you're a target of their negative ads and their attacks. Your own side, a lot of people there are going to hate you if they don't think you're advancing their agenda strongly enough. If there's disputes within your party, you're in the middle of that. This is a rough job.
Definitely. And I think that it's become rougher over the past 2 decades or so, I would argue, as what we would call regular order has gone away. And so policymaking tends to be, budget making in particular tends to be through continuing resolution and omnibus bills, and not the way that those of us who teach this stuff teach how it's supposed to happen. And so in that role, particularly being Speaker, it makes it even more difficult because you're responsible for corralling your members to vote for things that perhaps they didn't have a hand in shaping or they're feeling like they've been left out of the process. So I think it's even more difficult now than it would have been, say, 20, 30 years ago.
Shortly after Donald Trump was sworn in as president, Ryan came out with a pretty ambitious agenda with Republican control of both houses and now the White House. Here he is on Fox laying out his plan back then.
Inside the 200-day window is the regulatory reforms we talked about. It's the repeal and replace Obamacare. It's the budget. It's the rebuilding of our military. It's tax reform. Those are the things that we're working on. And infrastructure. Those are the things we're working on.
So some of that happened. The tax reform, definitely. The budget keeps getting bounced along. Repeal and replace Obamacare did not happen. Infrastructure is still in the works. And he was a deficit hawk in the past. Deficits appear to be on the rise again. How do you evaluate how Paul Ryan and his fellow congressional Republicans met those goals?
Well, if we're looking at just since President Trump took office and then the Republicans controlled both houses of Congress and the presidency, I think that, you know, as you went through your list, the one thing that we could sort of check off is tax reform. And I would argue that the tax reform bill that was passed that is going to do a lot to increase the national debt is perhaps not what Speaker Ryan had in mind when he joined Congress and began talking about tax reform. So I think the entire Republican Party bears responsibility there for what the tax reform bill has done and will do moving forward to the national debt.
We asked about Paul Ryan on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Deborah sees a man with integrity who can no longer work with the loose cannon in the White House. Deborah says she's happy for Paul Ryan's wife and children. Let's talk about that. Speaker Ryan and President Trump, in many ways, very different visions of what it meant to be a conservative and a Republican.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that was part of the help prod the decision-making in that regard. It has to be terribly difficult to work with President Trump from the perspective of he changes his mind quite a bit, as we know, and it's difficult to negotiate with him. And so if you're the Speaker of the House, you need to be able to speak to the president and make agreements and negotiations that then you can take back to your members and let them know that this is where what page the president is on and how you plan to move forward. And oftentimes you'd have those meetings take place at the White House, and I'm assuming the speaker would go back preparing to report back to his caucus, and then a tweet will come out from the president that says the opposite of what the speaker was going to report back. So that has to be a terribly frustrating environment to work in.
We're talking to UW-Whitewater political scientist Susan Johnson about Paul Ryan's announcement that he's not going to run again for Congress. What happens next in that congressional seat? What is Paul Ryan's legacy as a congressman, as a speaker of the House? You can join in at 800-642-1234 on those topics. If you are in this district, what are you watching for in this race? If you're a Republican in that district, who do you hope gets into that race? If you're a Democrat, do you think you have a shot at joining the theoretical blue wave that's on the way and flipping that seat? And how would you describe Paul Ryan's legacy as a leader in the House, as House Speaker? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue our discussion of outgoing House Speaker Paul Ryan. Susan Johnson stays with us. She's an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater, just outside of Ryan's 1st Congressional District in Wisconsin. You can join in with your thoughts on Ryan's legacy, where you think he succeeded or failed, at 800-642-1234. Was he an effective or ineffective Speaker of the House, and why? And if you're in that district in particular, Democrat, Republican, or somewhere in between or outside that scale, what are you looking for? What are you hoping for when it comes to your next congressional representative? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. To your calls now, Pat is with us in Mequon. Pat, hi.
Hi. I would just like to say I agree with that caller. We have not heard the end of Paul Ryan. I think he is very ambitious, but I also think he retired because here in Wisconsin, he's not very popular, and there's being a lot of money spent so he doesn't get voted in again. And, you know, Paul Ryan is a guy who his dad died at 16, and he got to where he is through college and everything on Social Security. But yet he doesn't want anybody else to have those benefits. I really don't understand that.
Pat, thanks for the call. A couple points there. Let's start with the political future. We also heard from Steven on Facebook, who says Paul Ryan will come back riding a white horse, he says, as a replacement for Trump and to save the Republican Party in the country in 2020. So, Susan, only Paul Ryan knows the answer to this. Maybe Paul Ryan doesn't know the answer to this yet, but talk about the possible political future for him.
Well, yesterday in his press conference, he said that he had no interest in ever running for political office again. That's generally, people say that, but they don't necessarily always mean it, and I obviously cannot read his mind. I would not be surprised if at some point down the road he did decide to return to politics, but who knows? I don't see 2020 as being a likely reemergence for Paul Ryan. I genuinely don't. I believe him when he says that he wants to spend more time with his family. Oftentimes we laugh when people say that, but I believe that if we think back to when he reluctantly took on the role of Speaker, the concerns about his young children and having his wife all back in Janesville was a real legitimate concern for him. So, and he joked about maybe wanting to be ambassador to Ireland in his 60s. So I would say for now, we might see him join a think tank or something and work in that capacity, or a visiting professorship maybe, doing some teaching. But I think I don't see him reemerging in a political role in the foreseeable future.
And Pat also raised the issue of so-called entitlement reform, a goal of Congressman Ryan's to change things like Social Security and Medicare, concerns among a lot of people that meant reducing benefits. Pat, critical of him as many others are. Talk about that as a signature issue.
Well, like I said, that was one of the two things that he really moved on throughout his career in Congress, and that is one where I think we're not going to see, obviously, any change between now and when he leaves office. And he's been talking about entitlement reform, and I think, as Pat mentioned, and you said others as well, have this concern that entitlement reform meant reducing entitlements to people, and so that obviously raises a lot of concerns. But when politicians talk about doing that, particularly when you're talking about Social Security and to a certain degree Medicare, we call those the third rail of politics because people don't like to touch those because they really raise the ire of a lot of the electorate.
Thanks for the call, Pat. We'll go next to Max on the line in Twin Lakes. Max, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Hey, you asked for some feedback on Paul Ryan's legacy, and what I'd like to comment is that I think it's an unfortunate legacy. Under Paul Ryan's tenure, we've seen the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. The economy, we'll see how it performs. My point is that I feel he hasn't even lived up to his self-proclaimed principles. He's called for fiscal restraint over the years, but he's leaving us with trillion-dollar budget deficits for years to come. And you just talked about entitlements, so I won't go over that. I'll just take your comments off the air. Thank you.
Max, thanks for the call. Any comments, Susan?
Well, I mean, I would say to, you know, to reiterate this idea of people's concerns about entitlement reform, and we've already talked about the issue of the debt and some of the concerns there. So I think that there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, who are concerned about the deficit and the growing national debt. And so he's taken criticism not just from Democrats, but also from quite a few Republicans who have those same concerns.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Wayne in Mequonago. Maine, hi. Oh, Wayne, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My statement is Paul Ryan is American. He puts his pants on one leg at a time. And he, being a Speaker of the House, like Boehner, I can understand why Speaker Boehner retired. You know, the stress level, but he has his points, and then he's got his party points, and he's got the, well, both sides. And he's got to play the aisle for compromise, to get anything through, get anything established. But the point is, he realized that it's going nowhere, and he is a family man, and he can look at half the Republicans are getting out. Gowdy's leaving. A lot of Republicans are leaving. Why is that? Because the establishment and the people are saying this, this, and this. And I remember people saying the same thing about the last Speaker of the House and the last president. So where does it come to a point that we become America again and we don't have these issues like sanctuary cities and, you know, we've got major problems locally.
Wayne, I'm going to jump in a lot there. So, Wayne, seeing this kind of partisan grind, this divisive grind, knocking out not just people like Paul Ryan and John Boehner, but other people from Congress, Susan.
Right. So Paul Ryan is just one of a long list of Republicans. I think at last count it's 38 who have decided that they're not seeking reelection in the House of Representatives. And I think something like 25 of them are retiring from politics altogether, not trying to seek higher office or something like that. So we're seeing within the Republican Party a lot of people, more so than what you normally expect in an election cycle, who have decided to move on and not run for re-election. And we're seeing a bit of that on the Democratic side, but we're clearly seeing more of that frustration on the Republican side.
Thanks for the call, Wayne. We're talking to Susan Johnson, political scientist at UW-Whitewater, looking at the departure, upcoming departure of Paul Ryan from Congress. He's not running for re-election, as we've been hearing what that means for the future, and looking a little bit at his legacy in Congress. Let's take another caller now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Do you remember the old days when Mr. Ryan was there with Eric Cantor and he was one of the GOP's quote-unquote young guns and he was going to change Congress and all of this? How much of Paul Ryan is just facade and how much is substance, I think? He was always touted as this great policy wonk, but his mathematics seemed to never agree with itself. And for me, Paul Ryan's image will always be Paul Ryan during the Romney campaign in the closed soup kitchen, trying to desperately show a human face.
Tom, thanks for the call. Tom accusing Paul Ryan of being more, I guess, style than substance, Susan.
Well, you know, we've heard that more and more frequently from people, other commentators and columnists who, you know, who look at Paul Ryan and have watched his career over time, have said that this idea of him being this policy wonk is more fiction than fact, but I would bring it back to this idea that he has moved forward on some pretty substantive policy issues, or hope to move forward on some pretty substantive policy issues, and I don't know him, so I hate to make those kinds of judgments about him.
Thanks for the call. In our last minute or two, Susan, you mentioned you don't see a big push on entitlement reform in Paul Ryan's last, 10 months or so as Speaker. What do you see maybe being accomplished now between now and the time this Congress comes to a wrap?
You know, I honestly don't see much, and I don't attribute that to Speaker Ryan deciding to retire. I just think that we get into election mode anyway, and the fact that we're in a particularly contentious election period with a a president who isn't necessarily getting along with his party, and this idea of not having many shared goals, I think that we were already going to be in a bit of a rut, and I think that this might add a little bit to it, but I don't know that this is actually making a huge difference.
We'll leave it there for now. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
We've been talking to Susan Johnson. She's an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. We talked with her about House Speaker Paul Ryan's legacy and the race to succeed him in Wisconsin's 1st congressional district. Still time for you to weigh in on, well, both of those issues, Paul Ryan's legacy in Congress and who succeeds him now and what this potential blue wave might mean for that district and Democrats' chances to flip it from a Republican seat. You can share your thoughts, tweet us at Central Time WPR, or you can join the conversation over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a lot of attention has been given lately to the health risks posed by lead pipes. Flint, Michigan, sure, Milwaukee too, but Milwaukee leaders are working to make sure that lead paint isn't overlooked as a threat. We're going to talk to a public health expert about the risks of lead contamination, where it's coming from, and the kind of impact it can have, especially when kids are exposed to it. Country music's biggest stars will gather in Las Vegas Sunday for the 2018 American Country Music Awards. We'll check out some of the people nominated, the songs nominated, and find out who's favored to win. Plus, on this week's edition of Food Friday, we'll talk with a chef who combines, I'm looking forward to this, combines Mexican cooking roots with Southern-style dishes in the kitchen. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.